You're listening to Careers and Cocktails, Career Talk with a Twist, hosted by expert recruiter Renee Fry. Let's get this party started.
Hey, party people, welcome back to Careers and Cocktails. I am thrilled today to have John McKay with me. And he is going to talk about, he's a credit expert, and I read his book, and he's got so a wealth of knowledge. We are going to learn so much about a topic that we've never had anyone like this on our show. So thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. I appreciate being here because my goal is to set out for the truth in credit, credit scoring, debt collection defense. That's been a big issue for me. It's a real... It's something, all I want is the truth. And if the truth is out there, people can make decisions for themselves.
Yeah.
But there's so much misinformation out there.
So much misinformation.
Oh, just a ton.
And
if I get animated and start, you may have to do mouth to mouth to resuscitate me.
Hey, because I love passion. I'm passionate too.
Well, yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
I'm talking about passion and putting lips on lips. But no, I'm not talking about that.
Yeah, no, so, I'm passionate about recruiting and the truth as well, which is why I share all the tips with job seekers on how to find the jobs, what to have on your resume and all that. So, John, we are drinking, you selected a Diet Coke because you told me you're a cigar man.
I am. Because I've got diabetes, and because of that, I've steered clear of the alcohol. It has nothing to do with it. I couldn't handle it. It's just that things negatively happened in my body. When that happened. So I steered clear of that. There's probably more harm in the Diet Coke than there is in the alcohol with all the chemicals. But nonetheless, it keeps me satisfied in that area. But well, yeah, good. I'm a big cigar. And being good, that we were sharing.
It. Yeah.
So we're going to.
And I like lime. This. Do you like lime in yours?
No.
Okay. I'm a lime person. I love lime and Diet Coke. So I'm going to throw one in and put one on the side, and we're going to do a quick cheers. And what can we help you celebrate this week?
Celebrate. Let's celebrate the truth.
Okay.
Drink to the truth.
Drink to the truth. I love the truth. All right. Now give us your elevator pitch, John. Who are you?
I am a credit genius. Now, that wasn't something that I made up. It was somebody that I was working with, and I've worked with a lot of people throughout the country. And he said, you know, John, you know more about this credit stuff than anybody else I know. Now, he had referred me 75, 100 people through his business, and he works out of Phoenix, Arizona. And he also worked, well, he worked in three or four other states, and he's one of the top producers in the nation on mortgages. And his name is John Werner, so shout out to him. And I asked him one time, I said, how many people that you've referred to me have gone on to get a home loan? Because that's what he does. He said, every one of them.
That's fantastic.
I said, unbelievable. I didn't know that, John. And he said, yeah, it's quite impressive what you do and what you know. And so I took that and I started working. This was got to be a long elevator ride. We must be going 100 stories tall. I do credit education, credit repair, credit restoration, and debt collection defense. Why do I do debt collection defense? I'm not an attorney. But it leads into credit repair will sometimes tickle the funny bone of the debt collectors and will spur them into coming after somebody. And I didn't want to be that person that set a negative path. So I learned all about it. And I've had phone conversations with debt collectors. And by the way, every phone call, number one, I record. In the state of Minnesota, where I work, you don't have to.
That's an interesting fact.
Right. Most states are what they call one-party states, meaning only one person has to know. In other states, there are two-party states, so I record them. Smart. Nonetheless, I record them, but my point here is that not one has told me the truth.
Oh, not that's one. Not good.
I've spoken to hundred, okay? And it's interesting how they try to lead you down the path. Now, if you don't know the rules...
And there's a lot of rules. In your book, there's so many rules.
And there's been a recent change called Regulation F.
Okay.
And that's just recently happened and started. We can go over that in a minute once we get into that. But my talk in my communication is all about credit education. Because of the various FICO scores, most people don't even know about FICO scores, and the inundation of my arch nemesis, Credit Karma, with the bad, erroneous, negative information. We may have to bleep out Credit Karma because they may sue me after this.
Oh, but we'll bleep them out. Competitors.
Yeah. Or mouth it over.
Okay.
They give out wrong information. The sole purpose of Credit Karma is to get you to buy credit cards. They're not there to help you.
Oh.
Their sole goal is to credit card sales. They don't use... Go ahead.
So I got a story. I went to college at the University of Minnesota, and I was there for orientation, and all these credit card companies were set up on the mall.
That's right.
And I signed up for probably three or four of them. I got like free tchotchkes, free t-shirts or whatever. I knew nothing about credit. I went into extreme debt, and I had to, I don't know what it was called, but I called one company and I paid them everything to consolidate everything, which...
Okay, so debt consolidation.
Debt consolidation, but my credit score took forever to repair, and now I'm happy to report my credit score is above 800, which I take really good pride in because at the beginning of my, you know, adult life, I got into some serious debt, which...
Because back to a student back at that time... Even now, a student, they take a look at a credit card and they say, free money.
Right.
I can buy lunch, dinner, books, whatever.
Right.
And there's not a dollar that's left my pocket. Okay? Until the bill comes.
Right.
And then you are SOL if you don't have the money.
Absolutely. Now I pay every credit card the full balance every single month.
That's right. But I've got a secret with that.
Okay, tell me.
It's not... necessarily how much, well, it is how much you pay off, but let's say you got a $10,000 card.
Yep.
You charge it up like most construction workers will have a bank card, and they'll charge everything up, let's say a $10,000 limit.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are higher than that. And then at the end of the month, they get their bill and they pay it off. What's being reported to the credit bureaus? That's a question for you.
I don't know.
It's what the bill was. So every month, it looks like, according to the credit reporting agencies, that is charged, that you're maxed out every month.
Oh.
So now it goes down to zero. Now next month, you do the same thing. Well, I'm paying it off in full. Why isn't that reflected on the credit report? It's not. Unless you go on your online banking.
Yeah.
Put it in. Pay it off at that point, bring it down to zero. Now, even though you charge up maybe for the next 5 days,
yeah,
it's a minimal amount. It's maybe only 15%.
Oh, I see.
Because the second factor in your credit scoring is the amount, what they call, it's the revolving debt.
Oh, right.
And it's the debt ratio.
Got it.
Okay, so if that debt ratio... is over, let's say, 95%, 85%,
mm-hmm.
you're SOL with your score. And that score can drop 100, 125 points.
Which is crazy.
It's stupid.
So, John, when do you have to pay? Give me the timing. So you pay it before it's due is what you're saying?
5 days before the end of the cycle.
Okay.
So you have to determine what your cycle date is.
Got it.
Sometimes it may be the 14th of the month, or it could be the 21st of the month, or the 1st of the month. Whatever. Go on before. 5 days before.
Got it.
Pay it off then. Okay. That's the critical part.
Okay, got it. So we're going on the party bus. You're bringing your cigars. Now tell me about your cigars that you enjoy.
Oh, okay. Now, I understand we can't light up here.
Right.
But we can pretend. And what I'm giving you here and sharing with you is the Herrera Esteli cigar. It's made by Drew Estate. Drew Estate is the largest retailer or seller of cigars.
Thank you.
This one was rated one of the top, I think this year it was also. And it's a relatively inexpensive cigar as cigars go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now what I have, and there's so many different kinds. I'll just let you have it there, but this is a cigar cutter.
Yeah, I do have a cutter at home.
But this one is unique.
Oh, it is.
In that it has a V-cut.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever had a V-cut.
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay. Or the straight across cut.
What's the difference of those, John?
Can you see the
cut?
Yeah,
I can see it, but what's the difference
this
in the...
This digs deeper.
Oh, got it.
Okay, but it doesn't dig it deep. It only digs it deep in the center.
Got it.
And so you might get better airflow. You might like the feel of it in your mouth more.
Got it. Cool. Well, thank you so much. So who are we bringing on the party bus? They have to be alive? And...
Oh, they have to be alive.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Maybe
okay.
They're not alive. We're going to bring them back from the dead? We could bring them back from the dead.
Yeah, but if I did, I wouldn't want them to leave again. My dad. We had a lot of miscommunication as people growing up. And he came from a generation. He'd be about 95 right now. But he came from a generation that grew up during the Depression. And I was born during the baby boom era. And there certainly was a cultural difference. There was a lot of, I want to talk to him again. I want to let him know how much he meant to me.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And I'm getting off into a philosophical bent here, but what most men don't realize is how important a son, when you look at it from a son's perspective, the father doesn't realize how important they are in their son's life.
Mm.
And if you never say, I'm proud of you to your son, if you never say, I love you to your son, they can't get beyond that until maybe they're 40, 45.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I got beyond it.
Oh.
And it took me a long time to be know that I was accepted by him.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to... That's what I want.
Well, cheers to that. Good for you.
Yeah.
There's a lot we are raised with and have to change. So,
yeah.
Some jobs in the financial services industry require a credit check and in addition to a background check to be employed.
Right.
And you being a credit expert with FICO scoring and debt collection, how does one bounce back from having bad credit, John?
A variety of factors, and the biggest thing that I want to bring up today, only because it's fresh on my mind, is be aware of fraudsters out there that will promise you things that they cannot deliver on.
Mm-hmm.
I just went over that with the guy that's setting me up as a speaker, and he referred me to somebody that he thought was great that does this. And I took a look at it and said, I just said, this guy's a fraud.
Oh.
He's a snake oil salesman. And that's why I go off on my tangents about telling the truth about credit. Because, do you play chess?
No, I need to learn though, because I watched The Queen's Gambit and it really, I was like, I need to learn how to play this game.
Now imagine we set up a chess board.
Yep.
Okay. And we got the rooks, the knights, the bishops, the king, the queen, the pawn. And we set it all up, and I'm a master at it. I'm not, but let's just say I am. And you don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
That is the credit game.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I say to you, make your first move. And you look down and you say, I can't make the move. I don't know how to play the game.
Yeah.
How does a rook move? How does a bishop? How about the knight, quadrant to six? How about the king, the queen? What's the goal of the game? Capture the king. Protect the king is what the defense is. So if you don't know how to play the game, you can't effectively defend yourself.
Right.
And that's why I say get the education about it.
Mm-hmm.
I teach those classes. And if they wanted to go on my website, I've got some of those classes listed. And they can take them. There's no charge.
Yeah, what's your website? Tell us what your website is.
www, but they all start with that. Credit, C-R-E-D-I-T-G-E-N-I .us. So the word itself spells out Credit Genius. And just like a mathematical number, 44.32, wherever that number came from, the point moves over to creditgenie.us.
Got it.
Now I confused everybody.
Hey, that's okay. So where do we start? We start with a credit score? What is your credit score?
Mine personally?
Well, no. What is a credit score?
A credit score is basically a way to dumb down the way creditors can tell if you're going to pay back the loan.
Okay.
That's in effect what it's attempting to do. But prior to 1995, FHA did not require a credit score. So for example,
To purchase your, you could buy your first home through the government program, right?
FHA.
FHA. You didn't have to have a credit score?
No. They looked at certain criteria. They looked at your past history. But let's say you've got some lates on there. That wouldn't hurt you as much if it were more than 2 years out.
Uh-huh.
How's your history been in the past 2 years? That's what they looked at.
Got it.
So if you had a bankruptcy,
mm-hmm.
you could still get a new FHA loan within after that two-year period. Now, conventional was different.
Sure.
Conventional was, I forget, maybe 4, 5, 6 years. I didn't do any conventional loans back then. I did FHA and non-conventional. So that's what, and all of a sudden now, everybody went to this credit scoring. FICA developed it back in about 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And they created different systems as time went on to allegedly make it better, not for the consumer, but for the people that hire information, get information. So everybody thinks that there are only three credit reporting agencies, Experian, Equifax, TransUnion. There are not. There are 40 others.
Oh.
And it's one of my pet peeves.
Never heard of them.
Oh, probably not. But they're off the radar. They want to be off the radar because when they're off the radar, they can't be challenged.
Fascinating.
Okay.
Yep.
I can tell you who they are. I've got a presentation on that. So we can go off and challenge those to find out what kind of information. But they're collecting data on your income.
Yeah.
Okay. That's almost public knowledge now. They collect data on your medical records. Who's doing what with that? Can you think about it? Okay. What about your medicinal use? Yes.
Oh, that's going in a database too.
Yes.
Huh.
Everything we do now digitally is being collected. Everything.
Yeah, that's frightening.
Keystroke. When you get something on a cell phone, like an app, and you get it for free, who's the product?
We are.
They're gathering data.
Yep. On you.
That's their purpose for it being free.
Right.
And I can go off on the tangents, but let's take a look at, okay, so we've got all these scores. We had FICO 95, FICO 2, FICO 3, FICO 2, FICO 4,
I'm 5, not even, you are 6, speaking Greek.
7, 8, 9, and 10.
These are all different types of scores.
Yes, different models.
Wow.
Now, when you pull a credit report off of credit monitoring, let's say, it's a FICO 8. Typically, it's a generic FICO 8, so it's not weighted for anything. Like if you were to get a car, it's weighted for auto purchases. But we won't even go that deep. When you go for a mortgage, what score do they use? And I know you don't know
because, I have no idea.
Okay, but it's hypothetical. You've got a mortgage.
Yeah, I got a mortgage.
Okay.
I got a great rate, too.
What mortgage, what FICO scoring system did they use?
I don't even remember. I'm sure it's in my... Oh, you don't know?
No, you don't know.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Loan officers don't even know.
Really?
I've talked with bank presidents that don't know. It's FICO 2, FICO 4, and FICO 5.
Okay.
Okay, so put that in here. So they're using antiquated information.
Sure.
FICO 9 and FICO 10 were developed to eliminate medical debt from the scoring, judgments from the scoring. But what happens if they're not using FICO 9 or FICO 10? They're using 2, 4, and 5. It's included in your score.
Hmm.
So they may disregard the information.
Mm-hmm.
And say, okay, because you've got this amount of medical debt, we're just going to, because it's not a lot, we're just going to ignore it. But it still affects your score. So you may not qualify for it because of the score.
Fascinating.
Now, I had this one woman. There's a joke there, but I'm not going to go there. in which we took a snapshot off of one credit report, meaning one bureau, it was Experian, and it was a credit monitoring, so we pulled up a FICO 8 score, whatever it was. But then as we scanned down and went to the bottom where nobody reads, not that they're deliberately hiding it, it was just at the end.
Yep.
The difference between her FICO 2 score and her FICO 8 score was 83 points.
How can that be?
Because now, this just shows you the difference between the models
sure.
and what they're using.
Sure. So tell us, what are the rules of the game when it comes to credit?
First of all, anything that you disagree with on a credit report, you have the right to challenge that data. You don't have to prove that the information on the credit report is incorrect. They have to prove that it's right.
Got it.
That's the position I take.
So who would you go to if you had a discrepancy?
You can change. I'm not going to say you've got to use me. If you certainly you know what you're doing, you can challenge it yourself. But things can't be too old. In other words, if the date of last activity was 7 years ago and it's a negative, it's got to come off the credit report. But then there's another factor called the statute of limitations. And that's defined by the state. Some states are 3 years. One state is 15 years.
Wow. What state is that?
I wanted to say Texas, but I was wrong. I forget. I think it was Missouri.
Okay.
Minnesota, it's 6 years. So if they haven't gotten a judgment against you during that first 6 year, or during that 6 year period. And I'm trying to be careful in the way that I phrase this. Is the debt still owed? Yes, you will owe it until you die or claim bankruptcy. Can they come after you for it? No.
Okay, say that again. So you have debt that's 6 years old.
Correct.
And you still...
Or longer.
and you still owe money, but they can't come after you for it.
That's correct. They had 6 years to come after you. And the law says that if they haven't done it in that time period...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
They can't. It's kind of like statute of limitations on crimes.
Right, right.
Now, there are some crimes that have no statute of limitations. I know they're trying to change the sexual assault law, but like murder, kidnapping, I don't think is part of that. But that's, and it's a critical issue because right now I'm dealing with a client in which we are negotiating, I'm guessing 10 or 11 with credit bureau, with the creditors.
Years?
10 debts.
Oh, 10 debts.
10 debts.
So when you talk about, is it different?
Most of them are beyond the statute of limitations.
Oh, fascinating.
So when I find this information out,
yeah,
I let the consumer say, okay, now, there are some people that say, I don't care if I never pay it again, or if I don't have to pay it, I'm going to. I feel a moral obligation to do that.
Sure.
Okay, fine. But understand that if you do that, it can come back on your credit report because now you have made it, you have brought the date of last activity up to now.
I see.
So part of the argument and the stipulation would have to be, through my discussion with the debt collector,
yeah,
you can't report this to the credit bureaus, period. And if they want their money, they agree with me.
Oh, I see. And then that helps the consumer.
Correct. At what point do we say, enough is enough? Yeah, they had a bad problem, medical debt, whatever. Maybe they're just jerks who didn't pay their bill. In the 15, 20 years I've been doing this, that's not been the case. Most people just don't go out and get a credit card and start.
Right.
That's not their goal.
Right.
But sometimes you have a husband and wife where the wife gets sick and loses the income and people are living now paycheck to paycheck. Well, if you lose that paycheck, how do you make these bills? People have been downsized. I had one client who was a professional out in Shakopee, Minnesota. He was making $130,000 a year. Got downsized. Couldn't find a job because he was 62, 63. No one would hire him, so he took something at $30,000 a year.
Oh, yikes.
Okay. But his bills were based on his income before.
Right.
You know, should he pay for these? Yes. But this is where the education comes in. We don't need a lot of the crap we're buying. And that's what I try to educate people on, too.
So then you have to go into mindset with them on that piece, John, right?
Yeah.
How do you convince them to change their buying patterns then? Because that can be difficult.
Yeah, it can. I just let them know it depends upon how you want to live. Do you want to be avoiding the phone calls for the rest of your life from debt collectors? Can those be stopped? Yes, and I've got a story about that where a woman came up to me from Iowa who was being harassed by debt collectors. And when I'm saying harassed, these aren't gentle phone calls that my clients receive. I can't say some of the things that they've told my clients, but she had five or six of them. And she said, they're calling me three, four, five times a day, each one of them. I'm contemplating suicide unless this gets taken care of.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, well, first of all, don't do that.
Yeah.
Because, again, this is where we get to, if you don't know the rules,
right,
how can you play the game? I said, I can have these phone calls stopped within 24 hours.
And how really? Do you do that?
It's a very simple legal procedure, and anybody can do it. It's called cease and desist. Once you tell a debt collector to stop calling, stop writing, stop contacting me, they must stop.
Mm.
And until or unless they decide to change, and let's say they're going to be suing you, then they can start talking to you. Not talking, but let you know of a court proceeding.
So do you have to be explicit in your communication that you have to say cease and desist, or you can just say stop calling me, stop contacting me?
You can say that, but what documentation do you have that you said it? That's why I always send it in certified mail.
Oh, certified mail. Okay.
Okay, with a letter that says, according to the FDCPA, all communication with you will now cease and desist. Any other communication, and I'm making this up as I go here right now, but it's something to this effect.
Yep.
Anything that you have to say to me is now concluded. End it. We're done. That's it. But people, I love nice people.
Me too.
I do.
I love nice
but
people.
But I want people to stop being abused.
Yeah.
Most of these people, they simply can't pay it. And if they can't pay it, where's the debt collector going to get it?
Right.
But the debt collector doesn't care if they're taking money from your children's table. They don't care. They want their money. They're incentivized to get their money.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a right to do that? Yes, because they're collecting on behalf of, or maybe they own their own debt, which is a whole other process. I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
Oh, that's okay. So tell us how one should handle a debt collector. You went into loads of detailed information in your book.
First of all, there's no obligation for you to ever talk with them. If you want to, you can. But if the old laws said that if they called, you picked up, they identified themselves, they could not call back again that day.
Hmm.
The new law, which is the Regulation F, came into being where they can now contact you 7 times during a 7-day period.
Oh,
it could all be on one day. It could all be interspersed between those 7 days. Mm-hmm. That's one. Number two, they can now follow you on Facebook. They can text you. They can email you. A lot of those, they're opt-ins. People don't understand. You know, you see all the news articles. No, they can follow you on this, and they can do this.
Yeah.
Well, they have to opt in, and they have to renew it every 60 days on the opt-in. So a client could say, 61st day, they get a call, or not a call, but an email or a text. It's a violation of law. You can't do it unless the client has re-opted in to receive those texts.
Oh.
And people think that just because the debt collector is angry with them, that they have, I'm just going to not say much, I'm just going to stay low, I don't want them to come after me in court, that would be horrible, I'm not going to go to court. Matter of fact, most people don't. 95% of the cases that are in front of a judge through small claims or conciliation court, the other side doesn't even show up. The defendant doesn't show up.
Oh, seriously?
Right.
Then
they don't show up.
What happens in that case, John?
Then the debt collector wins by default. They get a default judgment.
Oh.
Now they put it on your record. Now they can come after your W-2 income and get garnished, or they can go into a bank account and take the money from there.
Oh, my.
You don't want that.
No.
That's why I say we have to deal with this up front. We can deal with it. We just have to pull our little heads out of the sand.
Yep.
And stand up, stand tall, and say, I'm not going to take this crap anymore.
Right. And then what should someone do? So they send the cease and desist letter, certified mail, and then how do you suggest, I know everyone is different, but how do you suggest that what's the first step they need to do to improve their situation with the debt?
In my humble opinion, you just leave that lay until you've caught up and you want to start paying it back.
Okay.
But there are other ways to increase your score on a credit report. You have to reestablish credit after a bad event has happened. You could do that through a self-funded credit card.
Oh, is that where you pay first and then...
And then you borrow against yourself.
Got it. Okay. And that builds credit.
That builds credit.
Okay.
But the key to this is not just doing it on revolving, because there's one of the four... one of the ways that credit score is developed, one of the factors is a balance between your credit, your revolving debt, and your installment debt.
I've never heard of installment debt. What is installment
car
debt?
Car loan.
Oh, got it. I have heard of that.
Okay. Yeah. Got a fixed amount.
Got
over
it.
A fixed
yep.
period of time with a fixed interest rate, typically.
Right. Got it.
So if you've got five credit cards and no installment debt, that's not going to be as good as an installment debt combined with a revolving debt.
Mm-hmm.
So where do people get revolving debt? And most people think, well, I don't want to buy anything right now. I don't want to buy a car. No, you don't have to. Credit unions.
Oh.
The key to this is that you go to a credit union, you say, I want to join up.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you, it's self-funded, but the net effect of it is so much better than a credit card, because you've got the, you give, the example I give is $340 to the credit union. You take back from the credit union, borrow back $300.
Mm-hmm.
Now what's in their account is $40.
Yeah.
The $40... You're making the payment out of that $40, mm-hmm. automatically withdrawn. So it automatically pays that debt.
Yeah.
And after two years, you've got that reestablished.
And then
does that make sense?
Yeah.
I've got a book on that I've written about this.
Yeah. And then how does that improve, like what percentage would it improve your credit or...
It depends upon how everything else is on the credit report.
Okay.
Anytime you're trying to make a credit report better, you got to get the bad off. You've got to get good on.
Yeah.
And that information that you have that's good, keep it good. Keep it pristine.
Got it. So when people are trying to pay down their debt, so I've heard, is it Ramsey?
Dave Ramsey.
Dave Ramsey. Is he the one that says snowball effect? Pay the smallest, like what's your, say I've got five different credit cards and I want to start improving my credit score. Do I pay the one with the lowest balance first and get that paid off and then transition that to the next one?
Well,
or
it's, Dave Ramsey, God love him, doesn't like credit at all.
Oh, that's right. He's the cash man with the envelopes. Okay.
Okay. We can't live that way in America. Mm-mm. We don't live that way in America. If I could pay cash for anything and everything, I'd do it. But we're done with that. We've transferred from a saving society into a debt society, into a purchasing society. That's, therein lies where the credit cards come in. You got so many other factors, too, that I could just go off on. And I just had a client that signed up for purchasing a couple of beds from a place out in Burnsville.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a loan. It was being leased. They set it up as a lease because if they set it up as a loan, they would be violating the law. He was paying 200%.
Yikes!
For that 1 year.
Yikes. To get credit or?
To take these beds home.
Because he needed it? Wow.
But a lot of people don't make smart decisions.
Oh, I know.
You know, sometimes when I was young, I made some pretty stupid ones.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I did. I signed up for all those credit cards at the U of M. But the good thing is I learned early. And then, yes. Oh my gosh, you should, now it's like, we keep our vehicles for 10 years. We put huge money down when we purchase a vehicle.
That's right.
We, you know, it's like, you can't buy something unless you have a down payment in my house. And now we, you know, we protect our credit score like it's gold, you know, because I went through that.
Right.
Because that sucked.
Then you've got those people that say, you know what? Screw it. I'm not even going to get credit. The young people. They're living with mom and dad still.
Yeah.
Some of them. They, what do they call them?
Millennials.
Is that what they're called? Or Gen X's or something.
I'm anyway. Gen X.
Okay.
They're probably Gen Y by now because millennials are in their 30s and it's probably Gen Y.
Okay. So what they will do is they'll say, I'll live at home with, and I won't have to borrow any money. So I've got no credit.
Oh. So problem, what should they do? Yeah.
Why is that a problem?
Because no one's going to loan them any money if they want to go.
And your insurance rates can be 5 times higher for those that have no credit because they treat no credit as bad credit.
Ah, so how do you suggest to these, our youth, to
get a couple of trade lines, like I said, through the
credit union. Oh, yeah, like it.
These are simple solutions.
Yeah.
But
how come no one knows
about
them?
Because no one will listen to the truth.
Because they want you to get the credit card with the obscene interest.
That's right.
And go into this debt so you can pay them all your money. Goodness gracious.
Right.
Okay, how often should we be checking our credit reports, John?
Right now, up until the end of April, April 20th, I believe, because of COVID, we can check them once a week. Through.
Oh, fascinating. They implemented a law because of COVID?
Yes.
So tell me about, now I have, the credit cards that I have provide me, and my credit union provides me with my credit score. And how, I thought if, like in the past, when you got your credit score or checked your credit, it would be like a ding against your credit report. So
no.
Did something change?
No, it never was that way.
Oh.
And it brings me back, rounds me back to Credit Karma. And I'll explain it this way, as a long-winded way, which is my way, is I had a client that was just a reaching 600 on the credit score, and she wanted to start up her own business. And I said, well, let's take a look at your credit score. She said, it's coming up right against 600. And I said, well, it's not there yet, but you're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get that information? She said, from Credit Karma. And I went, ding, ding, ding. Nope. That's going to be off. And I told her that. I said, let's pull from a credit monitoring service and let's see, just generally, let's see what a FICO 8 score would be.
Sure.
495. It was, actually, it was probably less than that because it was a 120-point difference between what Credit Karma was exposing.
Mm-hmm.
To what this FICO 8 was exposed.
Sure.
Why?
I don't know.
Because Credit Karma doesn't use FICO 8.
Oh.
They use a totally different system that nobody uses for mortgages or loans or credit cards.
So then are they the ones you're borrowing from for all these items on their website? No? So then why would they have a different credit score?
Because everybody, you can create different scoring methods, like FICO 2 through FICO 10.
Yeah.
But nobody uses what they use. Not only that, they only pull from two bureaus.
Oh, interesting.
They don't pull from Experian.
Sure.
So how can you really contrast? And I got a story for everything. And I'm probably boring people with the stories, but this one guy went in for a mortgage because he had a 720 on his Credit Karma.
Oh, and isn't 700s good
credit? Oh, yeah, but that was Credit Karma.
Oh, okay.
Goes to the mortgage guy and says, I'm ready to buy. Guy pulls a credit report. His Experian, which is not pulled, was at 620. He had $15,000 in medical debt. He said, I haven't been to the doctor in 10 years.
Oh, my.
He's 42 years old. He's got a Latino surname. And I challenged it. It came back validated, meaning what we're reporting is correct. So now I go directly to the creditors and I say, give me all your information on this file. By the FDCPA, they have to.
Hmm.
So they sent it to me.
Yep.
They sent it for a guy that's 22 years old.
Oh.
Different country, different state, different everything. Now, there's two violations. Number one, the information that was on my guy's credit report prevented him from getting a mortgage.
Right.
And his interest rate changed because during that time it had gone up 2 points. Now, you got two points amortized over 30 years.
Yeah.
How much did he lose? Lawsuit time.
Yeah.
Number two, the information that they sent us to prove the debt was information from another guy, and now they breached his confidentiality.
Then what do you do?
Not my problem.
Right?
That other
what
guy,
a mess.
Credit reports have mistakes on them.
Oh, I'm sure. Okay. I'm sure. Okay. So, anything else that our listeners should know about credit that you feel has to be known?
Yes. Number one, never pay a debt collector.
Okay.
And there's a caveat here. Until you have verified and validated that they own that debt.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because there are a lot of fraudsters out there that will try to collect on debt that they do not own.
Oh, fascinating. So you just ask them or what?
How demand do you... it. That's what I do.
Okay.
But you demand it from them.
Okay.
Say, according to the FDCPA, you are obligated to provide A, B, C, D, and E. Do it.
Got it.
And if you can't prove it, it's got to come off the credit report. You can't collect on it. You can't take me to court because you can't prove it.
Got it. Okay. What else? Anything else they need to know? I mean, we've shared a lot. You've shared incredible value bombs, John. Information I didn't even know.
You know, there's so much information out there that I could give out. I could be, and I do teach classes on this, and it's not just for people that need the help. I used to teach realtors in the state of Minnesota. The particular class was, and it was for continuing ed. It was the COVID-19 factors in the way credit reporting was happening and what they needed to do. And I did that last continuing educational session. What they can do for me is if they want me to come speak to their group,
mm-hmm.
either live or virtually, let me know and I'll be glad to do it.
Okay. How would they get in touch with you?
You can get it off the website if you want, thecreditgenie.us.
Okay, perfect.
My telephone number, 888-417-3400.
There you go. Go to his website, creditgenie.us.
Right.
And give him a call. He gave you his phone number. And as we wrap up, John, where do you get your inspiration from so you keep going with your passion and helping people?
It's two parts, I think. Faith is one. I don't like bullies.
I don't either.
I've decided that it's time that people have the right and the obligation for themselves and for their families to stand tall and not take crap from anybody. That's not to say you have to be mean, but it is saying, I'm standing up for me.
Yeah. Cheers to that. Absolutely.
There we go.
All right. And then you refresh again where our listeners can find you. So they've got your website.
The website is at creditgenie.us. And my telephone number is 888-417-3400.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming. This has been
welcome.
Awesome. A new topic that I think a lot of people can get some huge insight from and be educated on. And I feel like it's not talked about, you know, credit well, or all of that. So.
How many of within your people that you help find work, how many of them, most of the time they're having their credit reports pulled? And it's in the small language of how they're interviewing on the business. But just know that you can be rejected for a job because don't pass
absolutely.
The credit report.
Yep. And I found that where a lot of roles in finance or financial services industry do require, they're pretty strict about credit and backgrounds for sure.
Yeah, background, everybody can see why that would happen, but credit.
Yeah.
If I'm selling at, selling a product, widgets.
Yeah.
Why do they have to pull my credit report?
Because don't they infer things about, like the insurance example, if your credit isn't good, then they charge you five times more, right?
Or if you don't have credit.
Right. Or if you don't have credit.
Right.
Yeah, so you've got to build that credit up, especially if you're going to embark in a role in financial services industry.
That's the key right there.
For
they
sure.
have a right to do that then, for
yeah,
sure.
Exactly, and you don't want your credit to prevent you from getting your dream job, right? So listen to all of John's tips and go check out his website today. And we will see you next time. Cheers!
Again, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are thrilled to have made a worldwide impact with listeners in 9 different countries. If you've enjoyed this conversation, please be sure to subscribe to Careers and Cocktails on YouTube and drop us a review on your favorite podcast app. If you're looking to update your resume or you're stuck in your career, I'm designated by LinkedIn as the top resume writer and career coach expert. I even created a resume and e-learning course to help you if you want to do your own resume. It's super simple and extremely affordable. Go to careersandcocktails.com to learn more. I also wrote a book called I Hate Mondays for all of you job seekers who hate your jobs and want to love your Mondays. You can go there for the same information. And of course, I am up to so much valuable information sharing that for you hiring leaders, if you want to find the secrets to finding the best talent, I have a hiring guide at careersandcocktails.com as well. I am here to share information and help people love what they do. Until next time, cheers.